I would invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Relationships matter. Relationships within our families matter. Relationships within the family of God matter. Relationships within the broader community matter. We know that. Those are like duh statements, right? You know that to be true. And yet the reality is we're also each responsible before God in how we choose to live in relationship. We can't blame someone else for how we choose to live in relationship. We still make the choice. Let me give you an example. My dad was a good and godly man. One of the things I learned in watching my dad, he taught me by his example how to live and connect with people in the broader community. One that comes to mind, between my 8th and 9th grade years of school, I grew almost 5 inches in a summer. When you grow that fast, two things happen. People think you're going to be a basketball star, and I thought that, and your knees have to catch up with the rest of your body. And I had great knee pain. One day, my dad took me to our medical doctor to have him check my knees out and all, and he did some tests or whatever. And when we got done, we walked out, and the receptionist said, that'll be so much. And my dad pulled out his checkbook, and he wrote a check. And then we went and we sat in the car, and my dad said, I want to tell you something, son. Dr. Gehring has never, ever charged us since we've been here. But today, somebody made a mistake. But you know what? I'm not going to push it and make that person feel bad. That's why I wrote the check. I'm not going to call Dr. Gehring. I'm not going to complain. We're just going to move on. I learned a little bit about how my dad treated the broader community. I have seen times in my life when a neighbor who I'm not even sure where they were in their walk with Christ would come over and say to my dad, I need to talk to you. And I remember one day they sat in front of our redbud tree in our house, in front of our house for 2 hours as this man poured his heart out to my dad. My dad taught me how to just react and communicate and be part of the broader community. I learned a lot. And yet, I've often joked, if you look up the word melodrama in the dictionary, you may find a picture of my father. My father was very melodramatic. In fact, one way it would show is we would ask him sometimes, you know, the question coming around Father's Day or birthday or Christmas, hey, Dad, what do you want? And he would hang his head. Oh, I have Mom and you three kids. It's all the gifts I need. And as we got older, you could hear us as teenagers. You could hear our eyes rolling in our heads like, come on. I love my dad. As I grew older and came of age as an adult, I had to kind of sift through the things I loved about Dad and the things that, he was human. And I don't need to take all of it. I sift through. And I believe, as I now am the parent of adult children, my children are doing that too. They're looking at me and saying, oh, yeah, these are some great qualities about that. Not so much. When we're dealing with relationships, be they family or church, family or community, we need to be wisdom. We need wisdom to be the people God wants us to be and to understand how we're shaped and how we can adjust to that. Human relationships matter. But our relationship with our Heavenly Father matters even more. Originally, I was thinking through this. I thought, well, this whole passage that we've been dealing with starting last week, Matthew 7, 1 to 12, is about relationships. But the reality is, the entire Sermon on the Mount is about relationships. It's about our vertical relationship with God and how that plays out in our horizontal relationships with each other. So to set that up, I would like to read, in fact, if you wish, you may join me. The words are going to be behind me on the screen. I want to read Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 12, and then we're going to hone in today on verses 6 through 12. So follow along. If you want to read out loud, feel free. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly how to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. What a great reminder. This section helps us with relationships in a different way. We saw last week, and as we just read, we need to live and act as those who don't look at ourselves as the standard for determining the fitness of others to reside with us in the kingdom. And we're reminded that kind of judgmentalism will come back at us. So we take care of our own issues first before we gently enter into the life of another and help them with their issues. But how do we know? How do we know if someone is really ready to hear what we have to say? How can we tell if someone is ready for this piece of divine wisdom or this corrective instruction or this observation that we make? How do we know that? The word we often use is the word discernment. Discernment is that ability to observe, to see things clearly. I would even say to be able to sometimes see underneath one's words or actions. And some people have a real gift of discernment. They're able to see that, and some of us not so much. And yet, I would say that as verse 6, I think, provides a bit of a transition between verses 1 through 12, we're reminded that relationships call for discernment. That whole statement about don't give to dogs what is sacred, don't throw your pearls before pigs, Jesus is using something very real and very stark in their lives to say, use discernment. You see, as we saw last week, not everybody's excited about the truth we think we have to share. And regardless how significant we think that truth is for them at the moment, discernment tells me, as I understand someone, maybe they're not ready to handle this bit of information. A professor that I had years ago used, I thought, what was a great illustration. In fact, I've never forgotten it. And he said, every relationship is like a bridge on a small country road. And if you've ever driven on a small country road and you come to a bridge, there's usually a sign that says weight limit, so much. And he says, in every relationship, when you have a load of information to share with someone, you had better understand the weight limit of the bridge of your relationship. In our marriage relationship, Charlene and I have a bridge that can handle a semi-truck full of information. It's been forged and built and solidified and reinforced over 40 years. But sometimes we don't have that. And discernment says, you know what? I know there's some things that I really need to point out to this person that would really help them, but the bridge is not going to handle the truckload I need to take across it. I need to wait. Discernment says, I'm not going to get into an argument with someone where we both end up hurting and trampling on each other with our words. It's not worth that. Discernment says, there are times when maybe the best thing I can do for both of us is to have a little bit of healthy space between the two of us. How do we get that discernment? Relationships call for discernment. How do we get that discernment? Well, Jesus anticipates and answers that question with another part of Scripture that is often taken out of context and misused. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. So often people look at this and see God as some kind of a divine ATM. If I ask, seek, and knock, everything I ask, seek, and knock for will be given to me. I can tell you that is not true. And I can tell you that by personal experience. Because I've lost track of how many times I've stood on the tee of a par 3 and I have asked and implored God and I have sought Him and I knocked and said, please, this time, give me a real hole-in-one with witnesses, not just on my own, so that there are people that can witness it. And I tell you, God has yet to answer that prayer for me. What we're asking is asking God in this passage. Luke's passage is a little bit different, but in this passage in the context, it's looking for that wisdom, looking for that discernment, looking for that idea of God, you're a relational God, and I'm a relational being, and I interact with relational people, and yes, I know Jesus came and died on the cross for my sins, but I also know the book of Hebrews said He has to become like me in every way, or like us, so that He could fully make that sacrifice for us, and so I need wisdom to know how to discern when my pearls of wisdom or my words are going to be thrown and trampled or when they will be received. And so I ask. In healthy relationships, we're not afraid to share with one another our needs or our requests. You know, when our kids were growing up, they were not afraid to come in and ask point blank what they needed or what they wanted. They knew that we were their parents. They knew that we loved them. They knew that we were there for them. And they knew that we would ask. And I think they knew that the answer would not always be yes. As parents who had a little bit more life experience than they did, we knew when the answer could be yes. We knew when the answer should be no. And we knew when the answer should be just hang on, you know, be patient. There's some things that are going to have to happen first. And you know what? As they've grown older and become adult kids, we still get questions, different questions. Sometimes can we help with the grandkids? Or sometimes do you have an idea or do you have some advice about a home repair? Could you help me with that? Sometimes it's just, you know what? Would you guys just listen? The work is just throwing some things at me that I just need a listening ear. There's all of that. And you know what? The grandkids are now learning that they can ask too. And yet they've discovered that grandma and grandpa seem to be that divine ATM. They can ask anything and we'll say yes. Now, that's not always the case, but they have that sense that grandma and grandpa are just whatever you want, man. They're just slinging it out, you know. The freedom to ask is a trusting part of a relationship. You don't ask somebody you don't trust. And that's a second thing I want you to know. Not only do relationships require discernment, healthy relationships are built on trust. One doesn't ask, seek, or knock in a relationship if there's not a sense of trust. We don't ask, seek, we don't just go to God and say, give me everything, because that answer is not good. To answer yes to everything would be very unhealthy. for any of us. Look at these three words in verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. When we look at these words as expression of relationship, we get a greater truth. Asking, seeking, and knocking. Begin with asking, seeking, and knocking in regard to seeing my own blind spots. Lord, where's the plank in my eye? Where's the blind spot in my life? Where's the spot I can't see? Show me so I can remove it. We look at these elements from a couple of perspectives because, you know, we can't always see how we are judging another person. We can't always see how we may be putting somebody in a box. We need wisdom. These terms are in the grammar in a way that they are to be done continually. In fact, I would translate it this way. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. The idea is that these aren't three separate prayers, but they're concepts, they're parts of a holistic type of prayer. Asking is that simple idea. Just like a child comes to you as a parent, or just like you as a child went to your parents, it's that simple idea of coming to God and asking for help. Seeking is that idea of pursuing God, growing in faithful trust that He's there and He hears. Matthew, we saw it earlier, seek first the kingdom of God. Keep seeking the kingdom of God. Keep seeking the truth of God. Keep growing in that relationship. Knocking is that relational trust that says, I can keep coming back to God. I can keep knocking on the door. Think about it. If you've ever had to go, and I did, like, recently had to go to someone's house and ask them about something, I hadn't really met them yet. It's nerve-wracking to knock on the door of somebody you don't know. You know, and in this day and age, you knock on the door and you stand aside just in case there might be something that you're not comfortable with. Sometimes you knock on the door and you step back. But if it's somebody you know, you just knock on the door. In fact, we've had people knock on our door as they're opening the door to come in because we're friends. They know us, you know. So you knock and knock consistently because you have trust that there's a welcome there. So we daily ask for discernment. Luke tells us, how much more will God not give the Holy Spirit for those who ask? So Luke is looking at it more from a salvation side. Matthew's looking at more as a relationship side. God promises to give you and me what we need to deal wisely in a kingdom way, even with people who may be antagonistic to anything spiritual or toward anything that we see as valuable for them. God gives us discernment. Ask, seek, knock. He gives us discernment. He says, when you ask, you're going to receive. When you seek, you're going to find. When you knock, the door is going to be open. I'm going to give you what you need so that you can have discernment in relationships, so that you can have discernment with one another, so that you can know who I want you to be. God knows exactly what you and I need right now. And His timing is always perfect. When a child has a need, a good parent does all they can to meet that need. And when, as God's children, through faith, we come to Jesus and we say to Him, and we say, we need wisdom, or we need to understand someone else, or we need to understand how to approach a situation, He helps us navigate in a kingdom lifestyle what we are facing. Verses 9 through 11 remind us how good of a God God is. God is a good God. He's your heavenly Father. A good God, a good father gives you what you need. A good parent gives you what you need. And yet we're aware that our earthly fathers, our earthly parents are not perfect. I'm as a father, I've made bad choices. As a father, I have missed sometimes the needs of my children when they were growing up. And yet Jesus says here, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? That's a ridiculous question. Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? We're all going, what? No, not at all. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Jesus says, even a half-decent parent whose child says, I'm hungry, I need something to eat, I need bread, is not going to hand them a rock and say, chew on this for a while. If a child says, I'm hungry and you know, one of the staples in the first century, bread and fish, you're around the Sea of Galilee, you know, says, I'd like something to eat. Hey, can we have some fish? And going to hand them a snake? No. Even not so great parents make sure their children have the right food to eat. And Jesus said, so as ridiculous as that sound, think of how great your father is, that he's even better than earthly parents who sometimes make mistakes, and he'll give you exactly what you need when you need it so that you can be all he wants you to be, because God wants you and me to be successful in his kingdom. So when we pray, when we ask, when we seek, when we knock, we come from a heart of faith, from a heart of dependency. Because if I don't believe God is there, if I don't believe God really loves me, if I don't believe God truly knows me, then I won't believe he wants to answer me, even when he puts the answer right in front of me. I'll not accept it. I need to trust. You need to trust. You see, when we understand that we are separated from God by sin, that we, and until we put our faith in the finished work of Christ and enter into that faith relationship with the Father through Jesus, being indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we understand we've been given an amazing gift of life. And part of that living that life is to reflect what God's done for us in our interactions with others. So we discern. And then in healthy relationships, we build them on trust. And then finally, healthy relationships reciprocate. Verse 12, it's a famous one. It's called the Golden Rule. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Tradition has it that there was an emperor named Alexander Severus, ruled from 222 to 235 AD, and he took this phrase and wrote it in gold on the wall of his palace, hence the term Golden Rule. How do we reciprocate others? Let's take a minute and take that ask, seek, and knock and just look at it from a way. And I understand this is an interpretive way. I'm not going to start a new religion here. But maybe we use that as a model of relationship. Ask. You ever find yourself in disagreement with someone or maybe in conflict? And in a moment you step back and you said, wait a minute, why is this so important to you? And in asking that question, the person just kind of opened up and you saw a little more who they were. And in that moment, instead of pushing for your own way, you ask that question and all of a sudden you're seeking to understand that person better. And all of it, the issue that you were dealing with kind of gets set aside and you begin to understand them. And the issue then gets worked out. And we knock. Now, I've told you, there are folks, and we've said, you know, hey, just come on in. But most people knock. They ask for permission to enter our home or to enter your home. Even if you know they're coming over, maybe it's, you know, dinner at 8, you know they're coming over, they still don't just walk in unless it's our family. They knock on the door. They let you invite them in. Maybe in relationship, we sometimes have to wait and knock and be invited into deeper relationship. We should be reflecting God's presence in our lives by treating others the way we wish to be treated. That's what verse 12 is all about. In everything, do unto others as you would have them do to you. Jesus said, this sums up the law and the prophets. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and all the rest of the prophets. Jesus said, it sums up by you do to someone else what you would want them to do to you. You treat them the way you want to be treated. Boy, that covers everything in life. I should treat my children the way I want them to treat me. My children should treat me the way they want me to treat them. I should treat my spouse the way I want my spouse to treat me. And my spouse should treat me the way my spouse wants me to treat them. I should treat my boss the way I want my boss to treat me. I should treat my employees the way I want them to treat me. That's a basic premise of life. Do you want to be treated fairly? Then treat others fairly. Do you want to be told the truth? Be a truth teller. Do you want to be accepted? Be accepting. Do you want to be respected? Be a person who respects others. And we could go on and on, but here's the reality in life. The trade-off is not automatic. And I think that's where we need that discernment. You see, just because you treat someone else fairly does not automatically mean that they've bought into the same thing. They may still not treat you fairly. That does not mean I can then say, well, there you go. No. I am not responsible for how someone else treats me. I am responsible for how I treat them. Do to them how I would like to be treated, but I can't control how they respond to that. A healthy relationship does reciprocate, but you and I are only one half of the healthy relationship. And so we have the responsibility before God to do what we believe God would want us to do to reflect His kingdom in those relationships. The idea of being responsible for who I am before God really leads us to an important reality that I think drives home the whole of this text, verses 1 through 12. Look at the bookends of this text. Verse 1, don't judge or you too will be judged. And then look at the ending bookend. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. A balanced person is honest and aware of their own faults and at the same time gracious with others and their faults. A balanced person doesn't just insert themselves into another's life, but builds friendships and relationships of trust and respect. A balanced person listens and asks and learns and enters into the life of another upon invitation. And we don't achieve this kind of balance through just exercise and hard work and education and philosophy. We need all of that. We need to read and see how balanced relationships works. We sometimes need to work in that relationship, but the balance ultimately comes from our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a faith relationship with Jesus in which we do admit, I'm a sinner. Lord, I am separated from you. What we celebrated here in communion, I need, and I need to be reminded of my brokenness. I need to be reminded of my flaws. And I need to trust you, Lord, to make me fully whole. I've often said our Heavenly Father is perfectly balanced. Each characteristic is melded together with the other in perfect harmony. And that's what He wants for us. And we're not going to 100% achieve that here. But we need to be on the journey. We've all had relationships in our life that we wanted to model our behavior after. We've all had relationships in our life that we said, man, when I grow up, I want to be like that person. You know, I'm still saying that. You know, when I grow up, I want to be, and there are people that I say, man, I really appreciate that. We've all had relationships in our life, and some of us, self-included, have been the example of how maybe not to be. We've all had relationships say, okay, yes, I know God loves them. I know Jesus died for them. I just don't want to behave in that way. Life and relationship can be hard. They take work. And as we grow and as we mature, as we grow in our walk with Christ, as we learn about the idea of being balanced and not judging others and taking care of our own faults first, we discover several things. First, we discover that we don't have all the answers, and neither does anyone else. When I learn to live in humility, when I learn to stay in constant communication with my Heavenly Father, when I believe He does have the answers and I can ask Him, when I believe He does have the answers and I can seek those answers through His Word and through meditation and through spending time with Him and through being quiet, when I believe He does have the answers and He says, please keep coming, please keep knocking, please keep asking, then I discover I can approach others with a gentleness and a compassion and a humility. I am not responsible to fix everyone. I don't need to be a judgmental listener. I can be a non-judgmental listener. It's the way I would want someone to listen to me. And when, by God's grace, I learn to be a person of patient discernment, when, by God's grace, I grow in my trustworthiness, it's amazing how God opens the doors for us to be used by Him to come alongside another that we never imagined. Difficult people are part of life. Good and godly people are part of life. People that we want to model our lives after are part of life. People that we need to sift through a few things are part of our life. We need God's help to be people of discernment. God will never leave us on an island. He will never leave us out there and say, go figure it out yourself. He's always with us. He's always available. He's always listening. Ask God for discernment. And believe that as a good and loving Heavenly Father, He's not going to give you a snake instead of fish. He's not going to give you a rock instead of food. He's going to give you what you need when you need it. God's bottom line principle for all of us this morning is simply this. Know how God has loved you. Know what He's done for you. And then simply treat others the way you would want them to treat you. It's easy to say. It takes Holy Spirit wisdom to go ahead and carry out. Father, thank you for this reminder this morning. May we be people who ask, seek, and knock, not looking for stuff just to make our life easier, but looking for ways to be better as we deal with one another. May we discover the freeing truth of what is called the golden rule, that when we seek you, when we know you're with us, we just treat others the way we would want to be treated. And even when that is not reciprocated, we will learn that we have done what you've asked us to do. We've been obedient to what you've called us to do. And in that, there is great freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.